Amen. You may be seated. Pastor?
Welcome, everyone. I think probably about a third of our church is sick. There are reports of a lot of people thankful that you're healthy and able to be here. I myself am recovering from a cold, but I promise I will not breathe on anyone. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1. Good to have the Boyles with us tonight. That was a surprise. They do come to church once in a while. And we'll hear from you later, so during the prayer time. It's been 3 weeks since we've met now for prayer meeting because of the holidays. And so we're going to do a little bit of a review this evening just to kind of catch us up to speed. So I'll begin with 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1 and read down through verse 7. And then we'll back up and do a little review. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Those four verses are just absolutely packed. I think I'll stop right there for now and do a little bit of review, and then we'll get to the text for tonight. So everything that we've studied so far, verses 1 through 4, and what we will study tonight, verses 5 through 7, we won't get that far, but at least we'll get as far as we can. Everything in these first 7 verses describe a massive, and I underline that word massive, preparation by God for a goal that is mentioned in verse 8. I'm not sure about ESV, but my version starts with the word for. For if these things, well, everything that he's talked about and everything we'll talk about this week and Lord willing next week, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a noble goal, and one for which God has made this massive preparation so that it can be accomplished. So it becomes a huge demonstration of what God wants for each one of us. So we back up to verses 1 through 4, and we look at, first of all, our assets. And we divided those into 3 different headings. So just a little bit of review on that. First of all, there were past blessings. And I won't spend a lot of time on those because we went through them in quite detail. But the first past blessing is escape from the corruption that is in the world through lust. I've been reading in the Pentateuch for the last several weeks, probably a couple months right now. And again, reviewing for the umpteenth time the Exodus, and how God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and how that's a picture of God bringing you and I out of Egypt, out of the world. But we're still in the world. As the Lord mentioned in his high priestly prayer in John 17, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, but we have been sent into the world. But thank God that we have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Satan uses worldly allurements to destroy lives. Pastor, I'm trying to remember the context. I believe it was in your Sunday school last week. Refresh me, just what was the basic topic of your Sunday school last week?
We were just introducing the study of worldliness, why we needed to study the love, not the world, that topic.
Okay, and you asked the question about why do we not understand how serious this matter is? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
And one thing that just, I was watching at home because I had a cold and cough in my head off and didn't want to bother everybody. But one thing that went through my mind is one of the reasons why people don't appreciate the fact that God has brought us out of the world is because they were never really in the world, in the sense that being saved at a young age. And so someone like me that immersed myself in the world for 25 years and found out how empty it was, have a better appreciation, and it is less alluring. Now, having said that, it's far better to have not been experiencing all that. But another reason maybe why people might not appreciate so much or understand the allurement so much is because they have already seen the emptiness of it. Do I want to go back to that lifestyle? Absolutely not. But does the world still tempt me? Well, of course. As long as we're in the world, we're going to experience that temptation. So Satan uses worldly allurements to destroy lives as much as he possibly can. Now, as Christians, we can still be hurt, but we will not be destroyed. We have to watch and pray, lest what? Enter into temptation. And so, ever on the lookout for the allurement of the world. Second past blessing is we have obtained like precious faith. I wonder if we can even come close to understanding how precious that is. And is faith something that we conjured up on our own? Where does faith come from? And how do we obtain faith?
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah, yeah. And so as the Holy Spirit uses the word of God to illuminate us, to convict us, to draw us, then we have... Now, the word obtain makes it sound like something that we have accomplished on our own. But I pointed out the fact several weeks ago that that is not the case at all. It is available, if you will notice in your Bible, through Christ's righteousness, not through anything that we have accomplished. And so, my friend, tonight, do you have saving faith? I sincerely trust that every single one of you know that you're born again. I thought I was for a long time, and I know some of you else, others did as well, thought you were saved for quite a long time. But when you really get saved, you know it. There were months and years that I just had to say, I don't know. But when God granted me this precious faith, for 51 years, I've known. So if you have saving faith, be thankful for the precious possession that it is. Who can quote Hebrews 11:6? But without faith, no peeking. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So past blessings that are mentioned here, and then present blessings, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, let's just kind of mention what that means. God has provided all things pertaining to life. What might that include? Everything necessary for life on planet Earth.
Breathing, eating, living, walking, health.
Everything in this creation, really. God created for the purpose of mankind to be able to exist. So God has provided everything necessary for life. The evolutionist has to really go by blind faith when you think of everything that is essential for life on planet Earth. And even things that are really not essential for life, but sure make life a lot more livable. God's pertained, as provided everything that obtains to life. And then secondly, God has given everything, all things that pertain to godliness. And what might that include?
The Word of God.
Absolutely. Where would we be without the Bible? Just absolutely where the evolutionist is.
Faith.
Yes. We don't come up with that on our own. God provides that.
Repentance, forgiveness.
Everything through Christ, salvation. He's given us the local church. He's given us the indwelling Holy Spirit. And my friend, he has given us each other. So there's no excuse for not growing in Christ-likeness, because God has provided everything pertaining to life and godliness. This is a huge demonstration of God's power. And so each of us have the provision to live godly lives. A second present blessing is these exceeding great and precious promises. And we spent quite a bit of time on that. First of all, I ask everybody to mention some great promises. And what a wonderful study it is, just to bask in understanding all the incredible promises that God has. Some so great. And then how about precious? Some are great and precious, but some are so dear to us. Great, precious promises. Think about it for a minute. Forgiveness of sin, answer to prayer, everlasting life, and the list just goes on and on and on. It's overwhelming to consider all that God has promised. But these promises are not just so that we can have some great things happen to us. The end goal is that God has designed all of these things to enable us to become more like Him. Given us great and precious promises. Why? That we might be partakers of the divine nature. So all these promises are designed by God to enable us to become more like Him. And so don't we need to study those promises and find out what they are? That'd be a good topical study in itself sometime. So we can actually become partakers of the divine nature. How amazing is that? What does the word partaker mean? Someone who has a share in. Okay, so we have a share in the divine nature. And then we look to the third category, and that's prophetic blessings. Because the verse is going to tell us that we have been called with a view to glory and virtue. First of all, to reflect His glory. And we could spend a lot of time on that. But secondly, to share in His glory one day. And secondly then, virtue. We've been called with a view to achieve a standard of moral excellence. So this is this massive preparation by God on our behalf. So that brings us then to Roman numeral 2, first part of verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So we see, first of all, the summary of our assignment, and that is add to our faith. Now, what has this passage already taught us about our faith?
Precious. Great and precious.
And we have obtained it. We have obtained this great and precious, like precious faith. And so, my Christian friend, you've already obtained faith. Faith is the foundation upon which you and I must now build. God gave us faith. We cannot claim any merit in having faith. It's only from God. But we are commanded to add to our faith. God's not going to do that for us. Now, obviously, we have to do it through his power. But we have a responsibility to add. This word add it means to supply further or super add. To super add. And it's an interesting word. It's taken from Athenian drama festivals. A person called the choregos would pay the expense of the state chorus. Choregos, chorus. And several of them would vie with each other in the generosity of their equipment and the training of the chorus. And so the word came to mean a generous and costly cooperation. It's so rich to look into the etymology of words and how they, you know, their original meaning and how they develop through use into a similar but far greater concept. Now, God has certainly done his part. He has given us the one element that is absolutely essential, and that's this precious faith, just like Simon's faith. So you and I are to what? Cooperate with God in adding to our faith. B, then, the seriousness of our assignment. First of all, we see the phrase giving all diligence. That word diligence can be defined as zeal with a sense of urgency. Now, if you think about just diligence, you think, okay, well, that sounds like, you know, we really need to put our full effort into it. But the definition just broadens in it. And again, as you study the Bible in the original language, it just opens up so much truth in ways that we don't really see it in our English translation. Zeal with a sense of urgency. What does that tell you? This is not just a take it or leave it proposition. God didn't just give us this like precious faith so that we could go to heaven someday. In the book of Hebrews, Paul had to chasten the believers because when for the time that they ought to have been teachers, they themselves still needed to be taught the basic doctrines, and there is no excuse except for maybe a newborn Christian or a very young Christian to not have already started this process of adding to the faith. Not in a ho-hum, I'll do it tomorrow type of attitude. Sometimes I feel overblessed for so many years to be able to spend hours and hours and hours, first in Bible college and then in graduate school, and then as a pastor, hours and hours and hours every week studying God's word. Not everybody can do that. You have to go to school, you have to work, you know. But we do need to add to our faith. And what are some ways we can do that? What's some ways that everybody can do that?
Personal devotions.
Absolutely. Making it a priority to spend time in reading God's word, studying God's word, prayer every day. Do we have any other resources?
Our church.
Yeah, you're sitting in one. Let's name some of those. What goes on here? and over there?
Discipleship.
Discipleship. What else?
Sunday school.
Sunday school.
Teaching.
Prayer meeting.
Teaching, yeah.
Teaching, Sunday school, prayer meeting. Prayer meeting, absolutely. Even the Sunday night. I was so blessed last time. We had our best attendance ever. I hope that continues. But I wish more people would be involved. Now, maybe you're at home discipling or some other form. We understand that. But there's something about gathering together, isn't there? So there are all these opportunities. We're not just left on our own. There are a lot of good study guides that, you know, and you don't have to have a huge library, but there's some just basic good study guides that help us in our own personal study of God's Word. And more than just, okay, I've read my chapter for the day, or I've read my two chapters for the day, or whatever, I've gone through my prayer list, okay, let's go do whatever. But there needs to be some time where you just dig in, you know? So I'm too busy. Well, then that is being too busy. Because what? We are to give all diligence, zeal with a sense of urgency. Wow. So considering the impact of our assets, this is no minor matter. Alexander McLaren, a preacher in England over a century ago, made this comment. Tomorrow is the opiate with which sluggards and cowards set conscience asleep. And as each tomorrow becomes today, it proves as empty of effort as its predecessors. And when it has become yesterday, it adds one more to the solemn company of wasted opportunities which wait for a man at the bar of God. If you want to hear the rest of this, you've got to come back next week. Okay. Comments, questions?
Do we have the gift of faith even before we're saved? Is that something everybody has, that they have to utilize it, but they have that?
There is such a thing as faith, but not
saving faith. Yeah.
Not saving faith. And we have to have faith that, you know, gravity's going to hold us down. And we have faith when you turn the light switch on, the lights are going to come and things like that. But not divine saving faith. So good question. Okay, I have a couple of requests.